Turn up your volume. Because you're about to listen to The Sick Podcast. The Sick Podcast. With Tony Marinaro.
55 seconds left in the penalty, a minute and 27 seconds left in regulation time. Boston 4, Montreal 3. Lafleur coming out rather gingerly on the right side. He gives it into Lemaire, back to Lafleur. Oh!
The Sickest Montreal Canadiens Podcast.
You're in the bomb!
Sports entertainment like no other.
Rejoint, on lui fait perdre la rondelle, une passe devant. Et c'est la victoire des Canadiens. Et ce sera la victoire des Canadiens. Stanley pour les Canadiens. Le 23e de l'histoire.
You found the dogs! John, you found the dogs! He found the dogs!
And all together, they worked the young team to the top. And now, a 24th Stanley Cup banner will hang from the rafters of the famous Forum in Montreal. The Canadiens win the Stanley Cup!
Brought to you by Energy Transportation Group. Driven to be different. La Vida TV. Embrace your true nature. And Playground, your premier gaming destination. It's gonna be sick.
Make it three straight wins for the Montreal Canadiens. 5-1, 2-1, 4-1. Man, these guys are gonna drive me absolutely crazy. But you know what? Part of me is pretty excited for the future. That's where I stand tonight, because this team, they have this never say die attitude. They have this don't quit attitude. They are tight. They are a group. They like each other. They play for each other. They play for their coach. And once again, the internal competition is friendly. It's sane. And it is exactly what you want it to be. It is very competitive. Look at Samuel Montembeau last game. Look at Caden Primo this game. And I can't wait to hear what the Snake has to say about Caden Primo, because pretty much the last time I talked to him, he told me he stinks. And the time I talked to him before that, he told me he stinks. And the time I talked to him before that, he told me he stinks. And knowing him tonight, he's going to tell me he stinks. Mind you, the way he's played in the last five or six, I think I beg to differ. Man, I can't wait to debate and talk with this guy. He's coming up. The Sick Podcast brought to you in part by Energy Transportation Group, a leading full-service logistics provider serving all of North America, driven to be different. Also brought to you in part by La Bite TB, brewed in Quebec, whenever it does international awards. La Bite TB offers quality microbrewery beers made with premium ingredients for everyone's taste. La Bite TB, embrace your true nature. Also experience Playground like never before. Enjoy world-class poker, 900-plus gaming machines and weekly events, karaoke Mondays, comedy Wednesdays, live bands on Fridays and Saturdays, and much more. Discover their latest additions, the ETC Steakhouse, Drunken Dragons, Exquisite Sushi, the Esperanto Cigar Lounge, and Babel Lounges, Medza, and Cocktails. Playground is your ultimate destination for entertainment just over the Mercier Bridge, only minutes from downtown Montreal. Visit playground.ca for details. And also brought to you in part by Accent Insurance. Accent doesn't sell insurance. They shop insurance for you to find the right product right on the money, whatever your insurance needs, home, automobile, or business. It's funny, every time I see Accent's phone number, I think of my buddy Sergio Momesso, because their number is 514-363-3636. Call the Accent team tomorrow and get the right solution, because they're closed right now, at the right price for you. Without further ado, let's bring him in. He is a former Quebec Major Junior Hockey League scout. He's acted as a consultant for several hockey teams. He is with BPM Sport and La Commission Athletique. He has a podcast of his own along with Mathias Brunet. It's called Processus. And he is absolutely flying with that podcast. This guy's not dumb. He joins me on this podcast. He sees me do my thing. He picks up all the tricks of the trade. And he goes somewhere else, and now he's making millions and millions of dollars with La Commission Athletique. But even at that, he still finds the time to join me. The Snake, comment ça va?
I'm doing well, Tony, and you?
Very, very well. Very well. Very well. You know, Caden Primo had a shutout going, which unfortunately was spoiled with about, just in the a minute left in the hockey game.
Thank God.
I was pretty disappointed because, man, knowing that you were going to join me tonight, man, did I want him to pick up that shutout. But you know what? It doesn't matter. I think he's made a pretty good case. that he was worth holding on to every time I told you that they should. You said send them down to Laval. And I said, well, you can't because he's got to pass through waivers. And you said, who cares? He's going to pass through waivers. And I said, you can't. He's going to get picked up. And you said, who cares if he gets picked up? And I said, I care if he gets picked up because he's still young. He's inexpensive. He has not hit his prime yet. We don't know what his ceiling is. They're in a rebuild. Why lose an asset for nothing? I want to see this kid for the next couple of years to see what he's got. And you know what? I think he's got something, Snake.
Look, he's had a very good streak. I don't know, 6-7 games? And but are you going to – when you project for the future, are you going to judge someone based on 6-7 games? Because you have to admit that before that sequence, he hasn't been very successful in the NHL.
Okay.
Okay, now he's doing well, I admit.
Yeah.
He's doing well.
Yeah.
He wasn't that busy tonight, but he made some pretty good saves, especially at the end of the second period, towards the end of the second period. Really liked a couple of saves that he did. So now let's see. I mean, let's see if it's sustainable and if he can play, let's say, 30 games a year and play probably 25 good games out of 30. That's what you expect usually.
It's not funny. You tell me he wasn't busy. The Canadians were outshot 30-17. And was it two?
Yeah, but the first two periods, he wasn't that busy.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And let me ask you this. Where do you rank Montembeau in the league?
I would say average.
Average meaning what?
Middle of the pack.
Meaning so he's top 16 in the National Hockey League or 17, 18, 19,
well,
32
teams. Middle of the pack.
Middle of the pack.
Between 15 and 20, maybe. Yeah.
Between
15 and 20. Goalies are really 20. Okay. You can predict a goalie's future and look very, very good 1 year. And 2 years later, you look like an idiot. Except, guys like Carey Price, Andrei Vasilevsky.
Okay.
So, I know that right now, people jump the gun and they're going to say that I was wrong. Okay, come on, guys. It's six, seven games. Now, let's see what kind of career Primo has. And if he has a nice 6-7, 8-year career with good numbers, either as a backup or as a number one, then I'll say, okay, Tony, I remember when we were discussing Primo, you were right, I was wrong. But I'm not going to say that because we don't know yet.
I listen, it's a small sample size. I'm going to give you that, okay? Because a career wasn't made in 6 or 7 games. A career is made over 6, 7, 8, 9 years. Okay, I get that. Okay, perfect. But I asked you how good you think Montembeau is. You told me middle of the pack.
Yeah.
And then I said, what, 16, 17? And you said between 15 and 20.
Yeah, okay. Which is fine,
Between 15 and 20 is good, right? So if Caden Primo ends up being between 15 and 20, he'll have passed the test for you, right? He will have exceeded your expectations, correct?
Yes.
All right. So when you said it's a small sample size for Primo, we're not able to project yet into what he's going to do. My whole thing is this, okay? It's been my whole thing all along. I was wrong on Montembeau, or at least my first impression was, because my first impression was actually, I thought Montembeau, the first time I saw him, I thought he was an American Hockey League goaltender.
Yeah.
But like I was willing to give him the...
Most people felt the same way. Yeah.
Yeah, but I was willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. Let's see what he can do, right? Let's see what he can do. When the Canadians they picked up Montembeau off of waivers, he was a goalie who had played 14 games with the Florida Panthers that year. I think he had a 334 goal against average, 890 save percentage. So my analysis was not wrong. But 3 years later, Montembeau, like you said, has become a top 15 to top 20 goalie. Primo's 3 years younger. Why can't he do the same?
We shall see. Goalies are voodoo.
No, but why can't he do the same? I know you said we shall see, but where's your doubt? Why can't he do the same?
Well, what I didn't like for the first few years of his career was that he was giving away too many rebounds. And he let him a lot of stinkers.
I hear you.
Yeah.
So I based it on
what I had seen the minute he signed his pro contract. And, you know, at some point you have to evaluate players. You have to say something. You can't always say we'll see. Yeah, you can't always say we'll see. But with goalies, it's a little bit harder to predict.
Yeah.
But, like I say, you have to say something. And then people say, oh, the snake, you know, shut up. Yeah, well, okay. No. If I shut up, I'm just going to say, oh, we'll see.
No. I don't want you to shut up. I love the fact that you give opinions because I totally understand. It always leads to good debate with you. All I'm saying is this, is that when I first saw Primo, I thought that he went down early and stayed down a lot.
Yeah.
I thought that he had to work on his glove. And I thought that if he gave up one of those bad goals like you talked about, he had a hard time forgetting that bad goal, and it led to another goal, which could have led to another goal.
Yeah.
Now, we've heard that, you know, he's taken on the services of a mental performance coach, works outside, you know, was not employed by the team, and which is helping him a lot, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I think about this, and I'm not no goalie expert by any means, okay? But I think about this. Take any player on that team, any player, from the kid who was drafted first overall to the kid who's a first-round pick drafted later in the first round to the kid who was drafted in the fifth round. Everyone had weaknesses when we saw them. When we saw Slafkovský, he got nervous in front of the net. He overhandled the puck. He thought too much. He had his head down. He got hit a couple of times. 1 year later, he corrected most of that.
Yeah.
Cole Caulfield, one-dimensional player the first time we saw him. A blue line in player. Not the type of player that you could probably trust holding on to a one-goal game. Not that they put him on right now because they put on the likes of the Suzukis and the Armias, the Evans of this world, and I get that. But clearly, 1 year later, a much better 200-foot hockey player than he was a year ago. We can go through every player on the team. They were able to work on that. I didn't see why Primo wasn't able to. And look, you're right. 7 games, it doesn't make a career, but I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged.
Because there's a lot of goalies throughout the league. Because remember, a lot of people, they watch the Habs. And it's sort of like the Habs operate in a bubble. Okay? People have to start referring to other players, other teams, and see what happens. There's a lot of goalies who go like up and down.
There's a lot of players who go up and down.
One bad season, one good streak, one, you know. So it's, why wouldn't Primo or anybody else be like this? Why is it that once a guy has taken off, he's taken off for 10 years? Not necessarily.
Yeah, but I think you can make that argument with any player in the National Hockey League, with the exception of the top 30 forwards and the top 30 defensemen.
Yeah,
but it's mostly a lot of players who are up and down.
It's mostly goalies, Tony. So let's see. We'll see what happens.
All right. Do you still, like today, would you still say the same thing? Caden Primo's not an NHL goalie. You could send them down to the American Hockey League. Would you still say the same thing that you've been saying ever since you've been on this podcast?
I would just let him run the course.
Okay.
Give him games other than playing Seattle, you know, and Arizona or whatever. Give him games against good teams.
Yeah. Today was a pretty decent team.
Decent.
Mind you, a team that I think is overachieving in the standings.
They are overachieving. They are overachieving. They're not great, and I think their rebuild is I think their rebuild is being slowed down by the fact that they're going to draft a little bit lower this year. I think they were expecting, if you ask Philadelphia management, I think Briere and Jones, they were probably expecting to get a top five pick, and they're not getting it.
All right, let's take a look at the starting lineup for both teams. We'll actually start with the Philadelphia Flyers if we can. All right, Morgan Frost at center with Konechny on his right and Owen Tippett on his left. Lawton with Brink on his right and Farabee on his left. Ryan Poehling, third-line center with Garnett Hathaway on his right and Tyson Forster on his left. Sean Couturier, my God, how the mighty have fallen on the fourth line with Cam Atkinson. Also him, how the mighty have fallen, and Lixell at left wing. Let's keep this up for a second. If I would have told you 1 year ago that Ryan Poehling was going to pass Sean Couturier on the depth chart, or 2 years ago or 3 years ago, I would have told you that. You would have said what?
Well, I think it's temporary.
It's a punishment.
Yeah.
It's punishment.
Yeah.
You know, he's got the most out of this. He's getting the most out of this team. I think if the season ends tonight and you give John Tortorella coach of the year, it's not a steal. I don't know if anyone gets more out of their team than him. I think Andrew Brunette's doing an awesome job with Nashville, but I think Nashville has a better D and a better goalie than Philadelphia. I think Jim Montgomery's doing an awesome job with Boston, but Boston has two better goalies than Philly. They got a better defense than Philly, and Philly doesn't have a Pasternak, and they don't have a Marchand. But I still, even though he's getting a lot out of his team, I'm not a fan of Tortorella. Like, I'm tired of his act. I'm tired of him, like, smirking at the camera every time something is called off when it's obvious. They go to the video replay that it's not a goal, and he when his team gets a penalty, his comments after the game with the media, he's probably a great guy, but I've had enough of the act. It's enough.
But, Tony, you know, I look at the roster that you just showed, and I kind of like Philly's wingers. You know, I was a big fan of Tyson Forster's in his draft year. I like Owen Tippett too. He's really, really rebounded well from a very, very tough beginning in Florida. But look at the centerman. I mean, it's pathetic. Frost, Lawton, Poehling.
Well, those guys, we're talking about 50-point guys. They cannot be your top two centers on the team.
This is terrible. Philadelphia had to trade Carter Gauthier. I mean, I'm okay with Drysdale, but I mean, Carter Gauthier in my book is going to be a star. So,
I like Konechny.
Yeah, I like Konechny. Right, look, I like the wingers. I like the wingers.
Yeah.
But those centers, oh boy.
So let me ask you this.
There's a long way to go in Philadelphia.
Okay.
There's a long way to go.
If you were the Flyers director of amateur scouting, and you take a look at their team, and you say to the draft table, to your scouts in the war room, you tell them exactly what you just told me. Guys, I like our wingers. Okay? You're with me?
Mm-hmm.
Do you draft Michkov instead of a centerman?
No, you always take best player available because you can always trade from surplus. Look, Anaheim did it with Drysdale in order to get Gauthier. Buffalo did it with Mittelstadt to get Byron. So you can always trade your surplus. So no, perfect. You do take it.
Great point. But how many wingers are traded for first line centermen?
Not often, but you can trade a defenseman.
Yeah, I understand, but we're talking about a team that's loaded with it. Anyway, you know what? Screw the Flyers. I don't want to talk about them all that much. Anyway, let's get to their defense stuff.
Is it a Habs-centric show?
Yeah, it is, actually.
Okay.
This is not processus here. We're not talking about all the prospects throughout the National Hockey League.
Well, we talk about the Habs quite a bit.
I know you do. You're talking about you talk a lot about David Reinbacher.
Oh, yeah, quite a bit, yeah.
All right, so for all of you watching right now, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to the Laval Rocket game tomorrow night versus Belleville. I have accreditation. I'll be watching the game from the press box. Grant McCagg is going to be joining me. We're both going to watch the game. And tomorrow night, we're going to be back, even though you don't usually work on Fridays. But Agnello was able to pull my arm, and I'm going to work tomorrow night, the Sick Podcast.
Okay, I know something.
Told me, also because he told me he's going to give me $2,000 to work tomorrow night, so I'm going to do it. But anyway, yeah. Here's the deal. So tomorrow night, myself and Grant McCagg, live from the arena in Laval to talk about Rheinbacher, Mayu, Dobesh, and all the Montreal Canadiens prospects. Yes,
Tom. Well, you can make sure that with Grant, they're all going to be all-stars.
And with you, they're all going to suck.
Not at all, because if you listen
to us... Can't the world make somebody in between?
Stop interrupting me, okay? If people listening tonight listen to Processus, they will see that I was very, very positive vis-a-vis Rheinbacher, Jacob Fowler. Come on. I mean, Adam Engstrom.
And you like,
I like Adam Engstrom a lot. Yeah. What?
Yeah, and you like Adam, and you don't like Mayu.
I said Mayu is the third pairing guy. Is it about not liking him? Why is it that with Habs fans or any team's fans, why is it that if you see a guy as a third pairing, a third liner, a fourth liner, why is it that you're a hater?
So you're not a hater, and you're
can't
right.
Can't we just analyze prospects? Look, Tony, go on HockeyDB, take any team, okay?
Yeah.
Most prospects don't make it. So why is it when you talk to a fan base, every six-rounder is a future star?
So you raise a good point.
Yeah.
Montreal Canadiens fans, I don't want to single them out because it probably happens for other fans, but since I've been talking Montreal Canadiens hockey for the last 22 years, radio, television, and happy to be doing it for the last 3+ years in the podcast world, Montreal Canadiens fans have a habit of almost every single prospect they draft, they compare him to somebody who's very good, and the expectations are not realistic. Now, having said that, the thing that I took exception to you regarding Mayu was, and you correct me if I'm wrong, what you told me on this podcast is best case scenario, he's a number six in the NHL.
Yes.
That's what you told me.
Yes.
And you weren't impressed with what he was able to do at the American Hockey League level. And you weren't impressed with what he was able to do when he was playing in the OHL.
No.
What I said was, here's a guy that if he hadn't come out and told other teams not to draft him, based on the information that I had from people that I trust, I was hearing that he was going to end up going in the top 16 and not 31st.
Why was he 34th on Bob McKenzie's list? And Bob McKenzie's list is a survey of scouts who did not take into consideration the situation.
Why was Marty St. Louis on nobody's list?
I know. Anyway, whether he was chosen 15, 31st, all of this doesn't matter today.
You know that Neil Yakupov was first on everyone's list.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, not
so
mine.
So was Alexander Daigle. Yeah.
I had Philip Forsberg that year, but anyway.
Yeah. Well, you know that a lot of people had Jonathan Drouin first on his list ahead of Nathan MacKinnon.
Oh, I know.
You know what I mean? Like, so... I respect your point. And this is the beauty of sports. I want people watching to listen to this, is that when you believe something, you can spin it any way you want. You could come back to me and you can say, well, the scouts said this, and I could come back and tell you how many times the scouts have been wrong.
Yeah.
But he's big. He's strong. He packs a powerful shot. He's got offensive instincts. There's a lot of tools there for me to think that he's going to be better than a six. You understand? So what does he have to work on? The way he thinks the game, knowing when to go and when not to go, and to probably better position himself so that he can defend better. Now, think of my logic here. And I can't wait to hear you answer this because I have a lot of respect for your scouting mind. Okay? You can teach players how to play defense. You can teach them how to position themselves better. You can teach them how to use their stick. You can teach them how to separate players from the puck. These are things you can teach. The harder things to teach are the things that he has. But he has those already.
He has those already in the American Hockey League. Okay. Will it translate to the NHL? Because whenever you scout players, you don't just evaluate what they do in the now and in the league they're playing in. You're trying to project. You always have to project.
You don't have to. You don't have to project. Can I give you an example?
Oh, okay.
Go watch the coverage of the Canadiens scouts prior to the draft of Jacob Fowler. There's a great debate with Vincent Riendo, former NHL goalie, who's employed by the Canadiens, and one of their scouts whose name doesn't come to mind right now. But I believe he's a scout based out of Boston, if memory serves me well. So Riendo is not for Fowler, and the other scout is. And Riendo says to him, stop looking at what you see now. We have to project, right? And the other scout says to him, this kid wins hockey games. Hockey's about winning games. All he does is win. He's been winning since he's 10 years old. Nobody wins more than him. This kid can play. In this case, based on Fowler's season that he just had at Boston College, and based on what everyone's saying and the fact that, you know what, he's top, you know, he's in the top three for goalie of the year, that scout was right. Now there's going to be other scouts that will have projected, instead of gone with the now, that they will have been right for other players. So it's all relative. Do you understand? At the end of the day, you know what the difference is? It's the character of the player. Mayu's got character. And that's where you're underrating.
And so you see him as a top four guy?
100%.
Top four?
100%.
On a good team?
I think the Montreal Canadiens are going to be in the Stanley Cup final in the next 6 years.
Okay, and Mayu will be a top four on that team.
In my opinion, yes. That's now I have to hope and cross my fingers and pray to God that no one's cutting this tape because it could be used against me in the next 5 or 6 years. But yes, call me stupid if you want. I think in the next 6 years, the Canadiens are going to a Stanley Cup final. I believe the Montreal Canadiens are going to win a Stanley Cup with Jeff Gordon and Kent Hughes. I don't know if Marty St. Louis is going to be there. I'm not going to go that far. I believe that what they're doing, their plan, they're executing, they're going to need some luck along the way. And I believe they're going to win a Stanley Cup. And when that day happens, this podcast, instead of having 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people watching at the same time, I'm hoping it's going to have 50,000 people watching at the same time. I'm hoping the whole city's going to watch. I'm hoping the players are going to be watching while they're going to be in the locker room. So,
now,
yeah.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Since, you know, defensemen take a little bit more time to develop than forwards.
Yeah.
What do you do? And notwithstanding any trades that can happen this summer, whatever. What's your plan for Mayu next year? Do you have him start in Laval again to build on this season, or you throw him to the Wolves in Montreal in October?
Okay. It's a good question. I want to see how Laval finishes the season. I'm hoping Laval will make the playoffs, and I want to see how he will perform in the playoffs. But if I have to answer you right now,
yeah,
I don't have Logan Mailloux starting the season with the Canadiens next year.
Okay. You would rather see him in Laval, correct?
I would rather see him dominate next season in the American Hockey League.
Yeah. Because I always give 2 years to a defenseman in the AHL. 1 year for forwards, 2 years for defensemen, goalies, three and up.
Mind you, a PK Subban came up after 1 year and he was fantastic.
Yeah, no, but I mean, you give it two years before you can pass any judgment for a defenseman, because the first year is usually, you know, it's tough. It's tough for a defenseman going from junior hockey to the AHL. I think it's tough. And I was just wondering what you would do. I would keep him in Laval next year too. If he dominates and there's injuries, maybe perhaps he can be called up around Christmas time. Yeah. But I would start him in Laval in October.
Here's the thing, though. It all depends on how they value him. And the same thing goes for Reinbacher. It's obvious that Reinbacher, I think, is going to be judged a little bit differently than Mailloux will.
Yeah.
Because Reinbacher was their fifth pick overall, and Reinbacher was the pick of this management team and not the previous management team that picked Mailloux. So they're going to be judged differently. But let's not forget that there's players that the Canadians deem the big team to be better for development, and there's players that they think would be better developed in Laval. Yes. They chose to develop Juraj Slafkovský with the big team. They chose to develop other players with the Rocket, whether it was for a short period of time or a little bit there and a little bit here. I don't think Reinbacher and Mailloux will start the season with the Canadians next year. I don't think. But if I had to bet on one, I think Reinbacher would.
I have to agree with you. What about Lane Hudson? What do you do with him next year? I know we haven't seen him in Montreal. We're going to see him for minimum a couple of games towards the end. Although these games could end up being like quote-unquote preseason games, you know, the way Ryan Poehling scored 3 goals against Toronto years ago. But let's forget about what he shows during those couple of games. What do you do with Hudson? So you keep Mailloux in Laval. You probably keep Reinbacher in Laval. Engstrom is going to Laval, that's for sure. What do you do with Hudson then?
Okay, I think I'm going to surprise you with my answer and my reasoning. Hudson, we all know he's got to put on weight, all right? He's got to put on 15 pounds. He's got to add muscle. We all know that, or else he's going to lose his battles along the boards and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Hudson is a guy that I think has to play in the National Hockey League instead of playing in the American Hockey League, and I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
There's some players that play better in better leagues with better players.
Yes.
I don't know if there's players in Laval whose hockey brain is as advanced as Hudson's so that they could be in sync with him and he could actually be at his best. Does this make sense to you?
Yeah, because I said on processus, I said the exact same thing about David Reinbacher.
Okay.
I think Reinbacher is going to be better in the NHL than he is right now in the American Hockey League for the exact same reason you're telling me. It's because sometimes I could tell last weekend, He processes the play very, very quickly, even before he has the puck. And sometimes he's ready to pass the puck to some open guy somewhere, but nobody's open. And you know that in the NHL, talented players will get open more often than in the American Hockey League. So I do understand your reasoning about Hudson, but I'm a little bit I'm concerned about the battle against the boards. I mean, the guy's just going to be 20.
You know who's got a great idea? Pierre Maguire. He says, when you get Hudson in your lineup, play 7D. Play him on the power play. Play him if you're down a couple of goals and you need a goal.
Yeah.
Pick your spots where you're going to play him. I think that makes a lot of sense. So you know what? He could be up and down. But when he plays in Laval, he plays more of a 20-minute game. And when he plays, if not more, and when he plays with the Montreal Canadiens, he plays as you know, in a rotation that has 7D. He plays playoffs. What are you doing? You're on Tinder or what? What's the story here? Were you sending messages?
Yes, I'm on Tinder, Tony.
Yeah.
I'm listening to you.
Yeah, no, I know you are. You get a very important. I'm curious now. Is this the GM of the Montreal Canadiens who just sent you a text, or is it Reinbacher himself thanking you that you said that you see him with the Canadiens next year?
Something
like that. Okay. All right. Okay. Let's.
No, I'm just wondering about the whole. There's going to be a stranglehold with all these defensemen. And I know it's going to be sorted out organically because we all know they're not all going to make it. They're not all going to be top four material. There's going to be trades, free agents, you know, attrition, basically. But what do you do with the young guys? That's the question. Do you start them all in Laval next year or some of them start in Montreal? That was my question.
I hear you. So I know this. This is what I know. If Hudson and Reinbacher at the same time happen to be playing with the Canadiens next year, Arbor Jacki is going to have to play with one, and Jaden Struble is going to have to play with the other. I would say Jacki with Hudson and Struble with Reinbacher. But then again, now, if you have Struble or Jacki play with Hudson, who's playing right D? They're all left-handed. Hudson's left. Struble's left. Jacki's left. Reinbacher's right, of course. So what's the right side going to look like? Maybe they're not all going to. Maybe the right side next year is going to be David Savard. Caden Gooley's playing the right side. A left-handed defenseman playing the right side. Is Kovacevic going to be there? Still has another year contract? Probably so. Do they bring up Justin Barron?
Yeah. Barron has been good lately in Laval, but we all know that his career has been up and down so far. And I like Barron. I always like Barron, but he's been a little bit disappointing this year, I would say. But I haven't lost faith in him, you know, being at the back end of the lineup, obviously not necessarily a top guy. But I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what they do, because contrary to what fans think, all of them will not be stars. And I take a lot of heat when I say that. But this is the reality. You go on Hockey TV. You watch the drafts. Most players don't make it. Why would every draft pick from the Habs make it? And you know what? By the way, I talk about Adam Engstrom, and I think I've told you about this before on your show.
Yeah, yeah.
For some reason, I think that he's a safe bet for the NHL, more than Mayu and Hudson. Not saying he's necessarily going to be better, but I'm saying he's a safer bet. I like this guy. He has everything to be an NHL player, not necessarily a 50-point guy, but I'm just saying that this guy, 1 year in Laval and the year after, he's on my team. Yeah.
So I like him too. I saw him at development camp. I really like him. He caught my eye, but I'm going to tell you this. The other two guys have the tools that makes the ceiling higher.
Yeah. So you're and I like the ceiling. Bet,
but the ceiling's higher for the other guys.
Yeah.
I'm sick and tired of the singles, man. I want some triples.
Look, I agree with you, because whenever I make a draft list, I always base it on ceiling. You know, like I wouldn't draft a guy in the first round because he's a surefire third liner. No. But Engstrom, first of all, is a third rounder. Engstrom is kind of like on the depth chart, probably much lower than the guys that we talked about. But for some reason, there is something about his game. Well, lots of things about his game that I really, really like and that I can see that can translate to the NHL. Because me, it's always about projection. And when I'm not sure about a player, if his skills can translate to the NHL, I always back off a little bit. And Engstrom, I have no doubt that this guy can play in the NHL. The question is, what is he going to be? A number four, number five, number six? I don't know. But he has everything that you like. He's a fast skater. He's a hard worker. He's very, very gritty. He never quits. He has some skill. He has a good shot. Not great skills, but good skills. He has a good shot. And I just can't wait to see him in Laval. This is the guy that I was in, besides Reinbacher, this is the Habs prospect that intrigued me the most.
Yeah, left-handed defenseman. He's about 6 foot tall. He's on the skinny side. Him too. He's going to have to put on some weight.
I find him quite strong. I know it's just the Swedish league and, you know, it's not a very tough league, but I find him quite strong. And I've seen him the other day. You know, he loses his stick. He's in his he's in the right-hand corner of his defensive zone, and he loses his stick. And the guy literally played soccer to get the puck out of the zone.
Yeah, it's a third-round pick. That's the Slafkovský draft. Third-round pick, 92nd overall.
Yeah, love this.
Snake, why don't we do this? Why don't we talk about guys who are in the NHL right now and guys who played that game tonight? I want to bring up the Canadiens lineup for tonight's game very quickly.
Okay.
All right. Suzuki with Slafkovský on his right, Caulfield on his left, Newhook with Armia on his right and Gallagher on his left, Evans with Yulinen on his right and Anderson on his left, White with RHP on his right and Pezzetta on his left, Matheson, Gouley, Jack Eyes, Savard, Struble, Harris, and of course, Caden Primo got the starting goal. Let's take a look at the score sheet. Suzuki, power play goal in period number one, 12:58 in, assisted by Matheson and Slafkovský. And then Yulinen, less than 4 minutes later, assisted by Suzuki and Struble. Okay. Let's keep this up here for a second. The way they passed the puck around on that power play, which went from Caulfield to Matheson to Slafkovský to Suzuki, Slafkovský's pass, without a second's hesitation, he didn't even make that puck breathe when it was on his stick. A cross-ice pass to Suzuki, who stopped it with his left skate and then was able in close. And what I'm loving about Suzuki this year, he goes to areas where you need to pay a price. He's willing to go there. He kind of like goes backdoor. And, you know, he makes everyone fall asleep. But what a pass from Slafkovský. Snake, he has more points, and he beat the record last game than any other teenager in Montreal Canadiens history. You hear that stat, you think what?
Well, I think that very rarely have the Habs play teenagers on their team, let's be honest. They didn't draft very high either in general. So usually when you don't draft very high, you don't play the teenagers. They go back to junior hockey or college. But it's still interesting. It's still an interesting stat. And it shows that they were right keeping him in Montreal last year. And like you were saying, developing him in Montreal. So kudos to management, because I think they did the right thing by doing this instead of sending him to Laval.
Yeah, Struble with Suzuki to Struble with a great pass to Yulinen, who I think scored for the first time since the middle of November. Here's a guy, you could be right. When Yulinen was drafted, a lot of people compared him to, you know, they probably thought he was going to be better than he's shown at the National Hockey League level. Right. So,
yeah,
to support your point. But anyway, disappointing season for him, but I'm glad he scored. And then they go to period number three. Armia gets an empty netter. What a play by Mike Matheson, picking up the puck pretty much behind his net. And he's got the vision. He sees a lane. He's off to the races. And then he dishes it off to Armia right before the blue line, I think, who's able to put in an empty net. Matheson takes so much heat on social media. I think it's unreal. And it's unreal.
Yeah, but he plays so many minutes. He always carries the puck. So obviously, you're going to make more mistakes than the guy who's just playing 10 minutes and just, you know, basically sitting on his bum in the defensive zone. So I don't think he should be getting so much heat, because he, for one bad play, he makes, you know, 10 good plays.
So Evans then in an empty net by Matheson and Armia. So 2 points for Yoel Armia, yeah. 2 points for Nick Suzuki, 3 points for Mike Matheson, and Owen Tippett, who spoils Primo's shutout, catches Primo on his knees, and he goes up and over him with 1 minute and 1 second left in regulation. I had no problem with all the no goals. The one that was kicked in, for me, was obvious that it was kicked in. And the offside was obvious it was offside. Do you and I agree on that?
Those goals were not goals, basically.
Hey, we've agreed on a couple of things tonight. I don't even.
Yeah, know. But maybe we won't agree with the next topic. With the next topic that I want to discuss, and it's funny stuff, but I just want to mention it. Why the hell did Slafkovský pick up the puck when Suzuki scored his 30th goal of the year? I mean, it's not like it was his 50th. He picked up the puck to give it to Suzuki for a 30th goal.
It's the first time that Suzuki hits 30 in his career.
He has 30 goals. And I was watching the game on TSN, and the commentators, they're going nuts about a 30 goal scorer. I mean, has it been so bad in Montreal in the last 30 years that people go nuts about a 30 goal scorer?
How many times do the Montreal Canadiens have 30 goal scorers? Tell me who comes to mind.
Who cares? There's some.
Maybe you don't care, but maybe it's important to Suzuki. What's wrong with you? Why are you like this? Well, did you fall off? Did you have an accident when you were younger? Did you fall and hit your head?
No, I'm pragmatic. And I want to cheer for, you know, maybe it's because I was born in 66 and I remember 5 Stanley Cups from the 70s. But I mean, whatever, Mario Tremblay scored his 30th goal in 1970-something. Yeah. No one gave a damn about it. What mattered was Guy Lafleur had 6 straight 50-goal seasons. Now, any silly benchmark is celebrated like it's the Stanley Cup.
Okay. When Guy Lafleur scored 50 goals for the Canadiens.
Yeah.
And I think he did it something like 6 straight seasons. Bob, Mike Bossy did it for 9 straight seasons, by the way.
Yeah.
Wayne Gretzky was picking up 212 points in a season. Mario Lemieux was picking up 199. Bernie Nichols, I think, picked up 150 points in a season or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Okay. Scoring was up in the National Hockey League. So, you know, 30 today is almost 50 from the late 70s.
Not 50.
I said almost.
Look, what you have to do, Tony.
So 30 today is 44. We're gonna argue for 4 or 5 days.
Whatever. Let's count the number of 30 goal scorers at the end of the season. Okay, yeah. Owen Tippett is probably gonna get 30 goals. He got his 27 tonight.
Okay.
Nobody cares, and they shouldn't.
Okay.
Do
you know how hard it is to score 30 goals playing for the Montreal Canadiens traditionally? I can tell you right now, how many players can you recall in the last, let's just say, from the year 2000 to right now, tell me how many players you know for the Montreal Canadiens that had 30 goal seasons. Tell me.
Okay. Before I answer.
Go.
Okay. Yeah, I remember Mats Pacioretty. I think, didn't Eric Cole get it once?
Eric Cole got it. Yes. I think he had 33.
He got it once.
Or 35.
Camilleri, maybe. I'm not sure.
I know that. So these are the players that come to the top of my head.
Yeah.
Mats Pacioretty.
Yeah.
Okay. Alex Kovalev.
Plekanec, maybe? I don't know. I'm not sure.
No, never hit 30. No.
No, 70 points. Alex 70 Kel- points. Yeah.
Correct. Alex Galchenyuk, Brendan Gallagher, Eric Cole, and now we're going back. I'm saying we're going back to the year 2000. I don't know if.
Yeah, but why do we have to? Why do we? Why is our benchmark mediocrity?
Camilleri never hit 30 with the Canadians, by the way.
But why is our benchmark mediocrity?
But it's not about mediocrity. It's about, you know.
Can't our benchmark be? Can't our benchmark be Stanley Cup winning teams? Why does it have to be mediocrity?
Times have changed. Times have changed. Michael Ryder, by the way, is another guy.
Tony, I'm not expecting five Stanley Cups per decade. Okay, but let's be honest. Canadians fans have really, really not been lucky in the last 25, 30 years. They are craving for superstars. Because obviously, you know, for the 20 years that he was a chief scout, Trevor Timmons was not able to bring a 70-point scorer in 20 years.
That's true. Okay. I think that's a fact.
I understand fans. You know, they are craving for stars right now.
You can.
So that's why I say let's not compare. Let's not be satisfied with whatever is above mediocrity. You have to aim for the top. And I think this is what the Habs are doing. This is what Gordon and Hughes are doing. They are aiming for a Stanley Cup team. Whereas Bob Gainey, Pierre Gauthier, Marc Bergevin, they were just aiming for the playoffs.
I don't know why this bothered you. I don't get it. I mean, obviously Slafkovský picked up the puck because he thought that Suzuki, it was a pretty cool moment for him in his career, scoring 30 goals. I mean, when the Canadians acquired Suzuki in that trade, along with Thomas Tatar and a draft pick, which ended up being Norlinder, for Max Pacioretty, went to Vegas. Norlinder. There's a lot of people who thought that Suzuki was a throw-in and wasn't going to be very good. Marc Bergevin tried to tell us. Yeah, you're laughing on that Norlinder pick. Eh?
Bergevin. Yeah, and I'm also laughing that, look, they wanted Cody Glass, okay?
Yes.
So they got him by accident. Can you believe it? Can you believe how incompetent that management team was?
Well, look, it's easy to say one guy was drafted sixth, the other guy was drafted 13th. So when you're going to make a trade, you're always going to want the player that the other team considers their best prospect. And you know what?
Supposed to scout the other team's prospects
and
have your own list.
Perfect. How great an organization is Vegas? They're great, no? The defending Stanley Cup champions. No, they let Suzuki go. They thought Glass was better than him. What's wrong? Why are you such a Canadiens hater for?
I'm not a hater.
All you want to do is crap on this team all the time. But instead of saying the Canadiens are incompetent, why didn't you just say, I can't believe Vegas let Suzuki go? Why is it always one team that's incompetent
obviously.
And the other teams are great?
No, but why did the Habs ask for Glass? You have to have your own list of prospects from other teams. You know, I don't give a damn if Quentin Musty is seventh on the Sharks list, because in my book, he's number two behind Will Smith. Do you understand my point?
I understand your point. Cody Glass is
six. Don't have this management team anymore, okay? They're gone.
Cody Glass. So here's the answer to your question, okay? Nick Suzuki played in the OHL. Cody Glass played in the WHL. They both had seasons of like in the 90s and 100 points in junior hockey. But one was 5'10.5" and the other one was 6'3". And that's why the guy who was 6'3".
One was playing in the Ontario Hockey League. One was playing in the WHL.
And it's harder in the OHL. It's a more competitive league.
Much harder. And I went back last year, a few months ago, I was talking to Matthias, and we went back to footage from Nick Suzuki in his draft year. like 2016, 2017, because it's available online. And we watched a few games. And yeah. And then we watched Cody Glass. And my God, Suzuki was much better.
You go back, you talked about Bob McKenzie and his list. You yeah. go back to that draft. And I yeah. bet you the scouts, the consensus was, is that they had Cody Glass ahead of Nick Suzuki.
Well, they had Cody Glass. So what? Quentin Musty went 26. Okay, this guy should have been a top 10 pick. Yeah, Quentin Musty, Tony. Quentin Musty.
I can't wait to see this guy play in the National Hockey League.
Yeah.
No matter where he plays,
I think he's going to be in San Jose in September, by the way, because they're so weak. I mean, they need players. I mean, they're horrible. And I think he's going to be in San Jose. I mean, he had a... he was on a pace for like 2 points a game this year.
Well, so, that's great. And the player that you're so high on for the last year, you're saying he's going to be in the first team because that team is so weak. That says a lot about that player. You know what? I think the San Jose Sharks, when he plays his first game, I think the San Jose Sharks should send you a first-class ticket to wherever the game is going to be to go watch the game, get you a ticket, first row behind the bench, get you a jersey, San Jose Sharks, Quentin Musty in the back, whatever number he's going to wear, and that's going to be your. Then you can meet him after the game.
Yes.
You can pull out the Sharpie. I bring him with me everywhere I go because I sign autographs. He's going to sign the autograph. He's gonna write it out to you. He's going to say to the snake, "You are a serpent. Thank you for the support, Quentin Musty." You're going to grab
exactly
the jersey. You're going to put it in a frame. You're going to put it up on your wall. And you're going to do your podcast. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why don't you get him on?
I'm going to be at the Bell Center next year for the San Jose Sharks game.
I'm going with you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because the last time you were at a game and I was at a game was about 15 years ago.
Yeah, it was the night Claude Lemieux. It was the night Claude Lemieux made his comeback at the age of 43.
Yes, and you and I didn't know each other back then, but you knew what I looked like, and I guess I knew what you looked like, and the guy that you were with didn't like me because he found I was talking a lot.
Well, basically, it's because he was talking to me, and you didn't agree to what he was saying, and you turned around, you were with your wife, and you turned around, and you told him something, and basically, the guy basically told you, look, this is between me and my friend, shut up. So, well, in a more polite way, let's say.
Wow, so you hang out with people who are rude then?
No, the guy was polite with you. But basically, he told me, who's this guy? You know, I'm talking to you. And I said, he works for Team 990. He goes, what the hell is Team 990? And I told him it was the sports radio and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it used to be. But listen to me. You could tell him today, you could have told him back then, that usually when I talk, I get paid. And that night when I was talking to you, that was for free. So it's kind of like a free consultation. And by the way, thank you so much for saying that I was with my wife that night. Thank you so much. You just saved my marriage. All right. Okay. I don't know why you said that thing about Suzuki tonight with the puck. You know, you got me all rattled. Honestly, I haven't been rattled in a while. You rattled me. It's such a stupid thing to get upset about.
Well, it's because you said we were getting along so well. And I'm kind of a party pooper. So I decided to, you know, my mom always told me that whenever I was a kid and everything was going well in a Christmas party or whatever, I was doing something bad. And I would spoil, she would tell me I would spoil the sauce all the time.
Yeah. Let me ask you something. What do you think of my shirt?
I love it. I noticed it when you opened the show.
I hope so. You noticed it when
I don't know why you keep spraying water on your hair. That's ridiculous. But anyway, that's for another night.
Because I'm hot and I need to cool off.
Okay.
Yeah.
I even had a haircut for you yesterday, Tony.
You should have a haircut for you and a haircut for your girlfriend instead of having a haircut for me.
Well, processus also, you know, because my hair was a little bit long and... You know, I figured I needed to look more clean for the next show. Yeah.
I understand what you're doing with your hair. You're trying to get an endorsement deal with Grecian Formula.
No, because I'm gray white, Tony.
Yeah, didn't the Rocket once upon a time, was it the Rocket that was in commercials for Grecian formulas? Yeah,
he would say, je garde juste un peu de gris, les femmes aiment bien ça. That's what he would say.
I have a beautiful, beautiful Rocket Richard jersey signed here in my home. It's unbelievable. I was telling my wife the other day, I said, I got to get it framed. I have that beautiful Rocket Richard jersey. It's just in my closet right there. I got to get it framed. It's absolutely fantastic. All right.
That's fantastic.
Hey, listen. But
do you have number 9 or number 15?
Number 9.
Because you know he wore number 15 at first.
You know what? I didn't remember that. And now that you're saying that, yeah.
Because a friend of mine has a painting
of
Rocket Richard's jersey number 15. And it's because that's what he wore when he first started out in the early 1940s.
Okay. And what number did Guy Lafleur wear when he joined the Montreal Canadiens?
He couldn't wear number 4 because Béliveau had just retired.
Correct.
But didn't they give him number 10?
That is correct. It was a trick question. He wore number 10. He wore number 4 with the Ramparts.
Yeah.
And the late, great Jean Béliveau asked Guy Lafleur to take his number 4. Originally.
Okay.
And then you know what he told him? He told him to take his number 4, and then he thought about it. Béliveau did, and he said, forget it. Don't try to be a Jean Béliveau.
Yeah.
Be yourself.
And what was great at the time, I remember they were only retiring numbers from, you know, players who had an outstanding career. And then at some point, you know, they wake up 25, 30 years later, and since the team sucks, they have to have some promo, you know, every other Saturday. And they started retiring numbers like Bob Gainey's, you know. I mean, this became ridiculous.
What's that frame? What's that picture above you? What is that exactly?
It's a Rino Pianetti.
I beg your pardon?
It's Rino Pianetti. It's a painter.
You mentioned them as if you were talking about the next Picasso.
No, he's not Picasso, but he's done work, you know. He's done good work. It's just a guy on a table, you know. He has a magnifying glass. He has stamps. He has postcards, and there's a cigarette burning. I mean, I think that's from the 1950s or something.
Okay,
I got it from a tournament. Would you rather I put 3 Sharks jerseys behind me next time?
You're going to have that next time, I would imagine. Closing thoughts on Martin St-Louis and the work that he's done thus far with this team. Progression, yes or no?
I would say yes.
Oh, my God. Finally.
Well, because he did a good job with the players that matter.
Because his very good young players who will be core players for several years have all taken a step forward. Suzuki, Caulfield, Slafkovský, Gouley, Newhook, Montembeau, Primo. You didn't react when I said Primo. I thought you were going to react.
No, I'm just letting you, you know, either you're trolling me or you're dreaming in Technicolor because you're a
fan. I'm trolling you. I have a feeling you've been trolling ever since you came on.
No. You're the Fafan.
And moi, tout, moi, now the Fafan.
You're a Montreal Canadiens Fafan.
You sound like the next Réjean Tremblay. Listen.
I love that expression from Réjean.
Yeah. We're going to do the Accent Insurance Solutions moment of the game.
Okay.
Do you have a moment of the game that stands out to you?
Yeah.
Which one?
It's that save from Primo. You see? Primo.
Wow.
With about 4 minutes, 30 seconds left in the second period. He had this pad save. You know, If the Flyers score, it's 2-1. Could have been a different game. That was my moment.
I thought there were a lot of moments of the game. Like, for example, when the Flyers scored to make it 2-1, and then they go to the coach's challenge, and then there's a distinct kicking motion, which is called off. That could definitely be a turning point in the hockey game. That could be an accent insurance solutions moment of the game. But for me...
Yeah, but it was a bad goal, Tony. That goal shouldn't have counted. So
for me, the moment... Point
when basically the goal doesn't count.
It doesn't have to be a turning point. We're talking about moments of the game. But for me, the moment of the game, there's one that stood out more than any other moment of this game that I'm going to remember for a very, very long time, which I thought was extremely significant in this hockey game.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you want from me?
You want to ask me what it was, or?
Yeah. You're going to say it anyway. So go ahead.
Yeah. The Accent Insurance Solutions moment of the game was after Nick Suzuki scored to give the Montreal Canadiens a 1-0 lead. Yuri Slavkovsky went to pick up the puck and bring it to Nick Suzuki for hitting that milestone 30. That's your Accent Insurance Solutions moment of the game. The picking up of the puck, the handing off of the puck from Slavkovsky to the trainers, the trainer taking it and putting some tape around it and pulling out his black Sharpie and writing 30th NHL goal of the season. That's your Accent Insurance Solutions.
You're killing me.
Moment of the game. He is Simon the Snake Boisvert. I call him Userpend. And he is co-host of Processus, the podcast. Check it out on YouTube and all social media channels. We'll talk to you soon, my man.
Have a good night, Tony.
I got a Happy smile
Easter.
At you.
Happy Easter.
I got a smile. Bona Pasqua. Joyeux Pâques.
Merci.
Bona Pasqua. Okay, there you have it. He is Userpend. Marinaro, once again, I want to thank all of our partners and all of our sponsors. Energy Transportation Group, I love you. La Bête TV, I love you. Playground, I love you. Accent Insurance Solutions, I love you. And to you, my sick army, and to you, my sick community, I love you very much. Thank you for watching. Thank you for all the messages. If you liked it, like it, share it with your friends, comment sick. Leave us a 5-star review on Apple Reviews. The Montreal Canadiens beat the Philadelphia Flyers. Martin St. Louis team, 4-1 winners over John Tortorella's team. And a big-time performance by Caden Primo, the guy the Snake has always believed in. I'll be back tomorrow night, same time, only this time, from Laval and the arena that they play in. I'll be there with Grant McCagg to watch Reinbacher, Mayu, Dobesh, and other Canadiens prospects. I can't wait to watch Mayu tomorrow because I think he's going to be a top four. Snake, I'll bet you whatever you want. For Agnello, Sammy, Juliana, Master Control, and Shane Gomeau as well, I'm Marinaro. Me. Have a good night.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast with Tony Marinaro on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts. The Sick Podcast is brought to you by Energy Transportation Group. Driven to be different. La Vida TV. Embrace your true nature. And Playground, your premier gaming destination.